Ryan stood, pulling on his coat. Despite the warmth and sunshine of the previous day, the temperature had dropped sharply and was now very close to freezing. He watched Jack pick his way to his own place around the dull embers of the fire. As he moved from the camp, Christy stirred and lifted a hand. Ryan stopped and took it, squeezing it between both of his. He stooped and kissed the woman on the forehead, feeling the tendrils of sentient hair stirring and brushing at his own stubbled cheeks.
Take care, lover.
After a few minutes, Ryan found that his night vision was slowly creeping back. It wasn't as good as Jack's, but a deal better than the average. The night was very dark, with the moon having finally given up the struggle and settled down for the rest of the night behind a wall of dense cloud. As Ryan looked around him, he saw a chemstorm in the distance, pink and purple streaks of lightning flickering across the sky, like threads of fine silk in an antique shawl. Ryan had read old crumbling books that showed men on guard in the night. They'd been marching around and around like little clockwork sekmen, making themselves an easy prey to any attacker. That wasn't the way to do it, as Trader had taught him.
Slow and easy. Stop a lot, look and listen. Go back every now and again in the opposite direction. Avoid any pattern. Most important is to stop and listen. Best way of picking someone up who's trying to get in.
The other thing was to work a different perimeter. No point letting an enemy see that you were always walking the same pattern over the ground. On his third walk around the camp, Ryan decided to strike off deeper into the woods, following a game trail down past the pool into a steep-sided narrow valley. It was filled with a tangle of brush and fallen trees, but the path wound its way around the obstacles. Despite the covering of dry wood, Ryan moved silently, ghosting through the darkness. He spotted the sinuous progress of a tiny, thick-furred, weasel-like creature, crossing the trail less than 10 feet in front of him, totally unaware of the human predator that had invaded its hunting territory. The wind had eased in the shelter of the ravine, and Ryan stopped and held his breath, straining to hear any sound that didn't fit the mosaic of the night. He could just hear his own blood thudding in his ears. Ryan waited, deciding that he'd gone far enough away from the camp, intending to climb back onto the ridge and walk around the pool, over the stream, when he heard a noise a little way farther down, where the path dipped sharply. It took Ryan only half a minute to find the tortured, dying man. Dean and Abe had built up the fire again until the camp was brightly lit. It was risky, as the flames could easily attract attention. A bright fire was visible for 20 miles at night. Ryan had gone back immediately after a cursory examination of the man, seeing that there was nothing he could do in the pitch-dark undergrowth. He figured that moving the victim to the camp was unlikely to do him much more damage. Enough had already been done. Jack, Trader, and JB had accompanied him back into the steep ravine, working together to haul the moaning man up the slope, laying him by the growing fire, where Mildred could look him over. Faced with a medical problem, she immediately slipped into doctor mode.
Male, Caucasian, possibly with Native American blood a generation back. 5 feet, 8 inches tall, weighs around 130. Naked, been walking in the backcountry for several hours, maybe days based on the conditions of his feet. Very blistered. Multiple abrasions, cuts, bites, bruises, and stings. None of them look serious, though some of them, I think, have become infected.
That's like saying that a bastard who's exploded a frag grenade in his mouth also has a fucking pimple on his ass.
Traitor, my definition of a fool is someone who talks first and thinks afterward. I'm doing this so all of us have an ace on the line about the poor devil's precise condition.
Go on, love. Don't take any notice of Traitor. Just encourages him.
Trader turned away in anger and walked across the clearing to sit again by the side of the pool, presenting them with his hunched shoulders.
Shaved head, also shaved body, complete depilation. I don't know why. It's almost like he's been readied for a surgical operation.
That would correlate with the way he's been so sorely injured, maimed, one might say. To my inexperienced eye, Dr. Wyeth, I would have said that the wounds had been inflicted with an almost surgical skill.
Can't argue with you on that, Doc. A scalpel or a straight razor's been used on some of those incisions around his chest and throat. Tracheotomy's been done by someone who knew exactly what they were doing. To tell the truth, I'm quite surprised to see this degree of clinical professionalism here in Deathlands. I thought that had all died out, and all you had now were the butchers and the medicine show quacks, the leeches and the tooth drawers. This was done by a surgeon.
What's a tracheotomy?
The hole in his throat. This doesn't make sense, friends. There's needle tracks in his arms and small, partly healed sores where he spent time in bed. Look at his elbows, heels, and around his buttocks.
Those marks on his wrists and ankles look more like he's been cuffed.
Agreed, love.
The man had been placed gently on his back. He seemed to have sunk into a coma. He had twice opened his eyes, but it looked as if they were fixed on something far away. Bubbles of pale blood fluttered at the corner of his mouth.
How long's he got?
An hour? He might live to see the dawn.
You didn't tell us about all the other wounds, Mildred.
Well, there's holes in his guts and chest. It looks to me like what we call a laparotomy. Kind of like keyhole surgery. You go in and take a look at what's in there, decide whether it's remedial or whether it might be inoperable or terminal. But I don't see why the poor son of a bitch would possibly have needed three. It's like they did them just for the sake of doing them. I can't understand the ethics of all this.
Yeah, those stitches? I've had some in my day. He looks like a map of the Everglades.
200 or 300, easy. Some are recent, some look months old, but it's like the other factors. There's no illness known to man that would need so many stitches all over the place.
Not knife wounds?
No, definitely not. Look, they relate to different major organs. Lungs, liver, kidney, large intestine, several around the urogenital system. Joints have been opened, knee, elbow, and shoulder. He looks like a human guinea pig.
So what's killing him?
Too much surgery. That's the simple, facile answer. But what he's doing out in the wilds of Acadia National Park defeats me. He's lost a mess of blood. I think he must have some serious disease as well. Streaks around his thighs show he lost control of himself way back. Maybe it's cholera or typhoid.
Contagious?
Christy took a few steps back from the dying man.
Could be.
Trader's curiosity had overcome his brief anger, and he had rejoined the group.
Looks to me like he escaped from some kind of Baron's torture.
If that's the case, then we should keep well clear of the Baron who did this.
It looks like he's trying to speak.
I doubt it, but his lips are moving all right. See if you can hear, Dean.
The boy laid his head close to the man's face. The man's blue eyes had started to open, gazing blankly at the lightening sky that was heralding the coming dawn. Ryan stared down into those eyes, and he actually saw the precise moment when life departed and eternity flooded in.
He's gone. It's over, Dean.
Dean straightened, standing up, looking puzzled.
What did he say? Anything?
I'm not sure, Dad.
Doesn't matter if it sounds stupid or if you aren't sure. It could be important. What did it sound like?
I thought he said twins. Then another word that sounded like coning. It didn't make sense.
Coning? Not coming?
Doesn't matter much, does it? We'll probably never know what happened to the poor man. What do we do with the corpse?
Leave it. We move on in another couple of hours. Let it lie.
Jack stiffened, his head to one side, his eyes narrowed as though he were concentrating.
I heard dogs and men.
Everyone froze.
This way! Bring the dogs! Heard the man. Get them all on, hurry!
Yeah. Sounds like we're about to have company.
Fire blast. I wish I had your hearing. How far? Are they coming this way?
Could be as little as a mile. Water noise make it difficult to be sure. This way?
I agree on all that, Jack.
Christy glanced at the pale body by her feet.
Are they after him?
Maybe. Bowen must certainly have spotted our fire. We must stand out like a bunch of stickies at a baron's wedding. If they're looking for the body, then it's probably better they don't find him here.
If
fail to see why having found the doomed wretch should bring us into difficulty. We are totally innocent if they are his friends.